Well, I believe we're having a revival, don't you?
Amen.
You get an evangelist to say amen during a pastor's announcement, we're having a revival.
Amen.
And I believe if he don't get to preach in the next few nights, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, it's wonderful to see you tonight. God bless you. Glad to have all of you here. The words of Christ in Luke, the 13th chapter and verse 3. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then in verse 5, in repetition. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I'm going to a very unusual place tonight to get my text for the message. I'm going to hell. And the message, what beats hell, and that's repentance.
Amen.
And there's a story in the Bible, the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, where a man died and went to hell. Another man died and went to heaven. And in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, send forth thy son Lazarus, that he might come, that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this place. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For he said, I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Will they repent? And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You know, everywhere I go, I hear people say, if we had more old-fashioned preaching on repentance, regeneration, the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the horrors of hell, the glories of heaven, the remedy of Christ, if we had more old-fashioned preaching, more people would repent of their sin and turn to God and be converted. I assure you, I believe that. But you know, beloved, by the way of pulpits of America, and even around the world, by the way of radio and the medium of television, there has been enough preaching of the gospel in the last year, especially to save America.
Amen.
And even to save the world.
Yeah.
And I believe even if Moses or some great prophet were to come back and preach the message of salvation, there are still people who would turn deaf ears. And there are still people who would go blind to the gospel, and he'd not. And so tonight, this rich man in hell became an evangelist because he had five brothers living on the face of the earth, and he didn't want them to come to this place that is called torment. And the answer was to him, after he asked them to go, he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would they hear one rose from the dead. But he wanted them to do one thing. He wanted them to repent of their sin. And in order to beat hell tonight, in order to gain heaven, there is a need of true, genuine repentance. And in dealing with the doctrine of repentance, we might ask a question, what is repentance? And then we'll answer the question in a negative way by saying what repentance is not. First of all, repentance is not sorrow for sin. Sorrow for sin is an element which will lead men to repent of their sin. But sorry for sin alone is not enough for repentance. You can be sorry for your sin tonight and still not repent of your sin. For the Bible said in these words that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Acts 26 and 20. And then again in Luke the 24th chapter, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name of Jesus among all nations. Romans 2 and 4, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In Psalms, the 51st chapter, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In Joel, the 2nd chapter, turn ye even to me, the Lord said, with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and wring your heart, and not your garments. God knows tonight If a man will get right in his heart,
amen,
he'll dedicate his material possessions to God. And so, sorrow for sin is an element which will lead people to repent of their sin. And God cannot and God will not save a man who's not willing to repent of his sin. You say, what about conviction? You know, a person can become under conviction and still not repent of his sin. A great theologian of days gone by said that conviction is an element which leads to repentance. And so, you cannot be saved apart from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved apart from conviction, but conviction alone is not repentance. For in many meetings, I have seen people come to the services night after night. They hear the gospel. They get under conviction. They go away from the service, throw the conviction off, and come back to the meeting and get under conviction and never repent of their sin. Conviction is not altogether repentance.
Amen.
Someone might say, what about remorse? You can be remorseful tonight and still not repent of your sin. What about reformation? A man does not reform in order to repent. A man reforms because he has repented. I quoted this scripture Sunday morning. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, and it is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Then if you read the next verse, for we are the workmanship created unto God unto good works. And so reformation is not repentance. You can reform and reform and reform, but until you repent, you will die lost. I know when I was a boy, I used tobacco. I used it everywhere. I chewed it, dipped it, smoked it, swallowed it. That didn't make me sick. 6 years of age, the first chew tobacco I ever had was in Rice Greenville in a cotton patch. The temperature was 100 degrees, and it didn't make me sick. And I used it for 12 years. I reformed a lot of times, but finally I quit. But you know, now I've got another sin. I've become a coffeeaholic. I got a real nervous here a while back, and I had to go to the doctor because of my nerves. And I was just real nervous. He said, Brother Vestal, do you drink coffee? I said, yes, sir. He said, how many cups you drink a day? I said, oh, doctor, I don't drink too many. He said, do you drink 12 cups? I said, I spill that many. But you know, we can reform a lot of times, but unless we repent, we will never be able to truly reform. What is repentance? Repentance tonight is a change of mind which brings about a new heart. You know, repentance is mentioned in the New Testament over 70 times. And repentance involves three things. Repentance involves intellect, emotion, and will. There must be a change of mind which brings about a new heart. There must be a willingness on the part of the lost sinner to repent of his sin. Did you realize tonight that God hath done everything in his power to cause you to repent? After man sinned against the Lord, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross. And he lives tonight that men might repent of their sin. And God is not going to make anyone repent. God gives you a choice. And when a man changes against his will, his mind remains the same. There is a need of intellect in repentance by a change of mind. There is a need of a new heart by the way of emotion. And there is a need of willingness on the part of the lost sinner to turn to God and be converted. Did you realize, my friends, there has never been a sin committed without being committed in the mind before actually being done, apart from insanity? I don't care whether it be the sin of adultery, whether it be the sin of theft, whether it be the sin of robbery, or murder, or any other sin. It's always committed in the mind before actually being done. The man today that committed a robbery in your city and was arrested a few hours ago, I believe if you were to go to that man and question him, he had made up his mind to do this act of sin before it actually did. A few years ago, a man in Detroit, Michigan, killed 8 nurses outright. And they found in his diary that he'd made up his mind to commit this murder before he did it. In Austin, Texas, a few years ago, a man climbed up on a tower and shot down between 15 and 25 bystanders. And they found in his diary that he planned to do this murder in Dallas. But it wound up in Austin, committing the crime. There's never a sin committed without first being committed within the mind. And so, there'll never be repentance without actually saying, Lord, I've made up my mind to trust you as my Savior. I was under conviction several days before I was converted. I was invited to church by a young man who had been a professional boxer, and I went, and I had to have a change of mind. I had to think it through. And you know, the devil gave me every excuse during those days. None of my family were Christian. Not anybody in my home was. The only time I ever heard God's name was in vain. And I just thought, what will my people think about it if I get right with God? I was in the camp with 250 boys, some of the meanest I ever met. And I can count on one hand of how many of those young men were Christians. And the devil said, what do they think about it? And the devil said to me, there are too many hypocrites in the church. And the devil said to me, Dan, you can't hold out. And I couldn't. But finally, when I put all those flimsy excuses aside and said, Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to trust you regardless, and I repented of my sin through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, I walked down to the altar of that church and I had a change of mind which brought about a new heart. Amen. Because there was a willingness on my part to say yes to God. And I didn't have a lot to do with my salvation. It was all God, because God is the one that performs the miracle spiritually. Repentance tonight is a change of mind which brings about a new heart. You know, there is no substitute for repentance. There are a lot of people tonight that are trying to substitute numerous things for repentance. Some try to substitute penance for repentance. The Bible didn't say do penance. The Bible said repent.
Amen.
And you can do penance, but unless you repent, you'll die and go to hell. No substitute for repentance. Some people say, well, I'd like to live a moral life. And I know of men tonight that are just as moral as any man on earth. But morality don't save. You may be as moral as Saul of Tarsus. You may be as righteous as Nicodemus and split hell wide open unless you repent of your sin.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. I believe in righteousness and I believe in striving to live a moral life, but beloved, morality will not save you. You know what Isaiah said? Isaiah spoke that our righteousness are as filthy rags apart from the righteousness of God. Someone might say, what about church membership? Well, you can be baptized in every way. You let a Methodist preacher sprinkle water on you, and you let a Presbyterian preacher pour water on you, and you let a Baptist or a Holiness or Christian preacher put you under water, but you'll go down a dry center and come up a wet one unless you repent.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not here tonight to fight any other church. I know there are people in all churches that are converted. I believe they're Catholics even in spite of what they believe or teach. I believe they're Catholics that are saved. I believe they're Presbyterians that are saved. My grandmother was Presbyterian. I believe she's in heaven. My other grandmother was a Methodist. I believe she's in heaven. I know Methodists saved. I know people in the Holiness Church, they're saying, you can believe this or not, I even think there are some Baptists saying, don't you? But I want you to know church membership won't save you.
Amen.
You can join every church in San Antonio, Texas, and you can be baptized by every kind of preacher, but unless you repent of your sin, you'll die lost, my friend. And I don't want to minimize this tonight. I believe when a man repents of his sin, he'll want to be scripturally baptized, and he'll want to become a member of the church.
Amen.
And he'll want to strive to live for God. So repentance tonight is a change of mind which brings about a new heart. Repentance is turning from something bad to something good. Repentance is turning from hell to heaven. Repentance is turning from sin to righteousness. Repentance is turning from the devil to Christ. Repentance is turning from Satan to God. An old-time preacher said, repentance is the first conscious movement of the soul from sin toward God. Another great preacher said in these words, to do so no more is the truest repentance. I don't claim to be a theologian, but repentance in the word Hebrew means to turn back. Repentance in Greek means a change of mind. And a man can no more get to heaven apart from repentance than you could go from here to New York on a train without tracks. And I say tonight that in order to beat hell and gain heaven, there is the need of true repentance.
Amen.
Someone might say tonight, why should I repent? First of all, men need to repent because there is going to be a coming judgment. The Bible teaches seven judgments. The scripture said, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Men need to repent because God commands you to repent.
Amen.
God commanded me one day to repent. And the times of this ignorance, God went that, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know, one of the greatest stories in the Bible is the story of David, the prophet. You say, Brother Vestal, how could this man, David, be a man after God's own heart for the sins that he committed? God said he was. It's not how a man falls down. It's how he gets up.
Amen.
And don't you ever be boastful about your righteousness.
Amen.
Because you might fall for the same mechanism of some other person who has fallen on their weakness. Because God is the one who gives strength. I heard this pastor say the other night, we have to trust God every day, every moment to live. And so in order to be the hell, there is the need of true repentance. And then even after repentance and after conversion, there is a need daily of repentance in the life of the born-again believer.
Amen.
Had a woman come to me some time ago, and she said, oh, Brother Vestal, the devil never does bother me. I said, I guess not. He's had you for 40 years. The devil ain't going to bother nobody that he's already got. I'll tell you what, the devil tries to be a good friend of mine all. He bothers me. And I believe if you try to be a Christian, he'll bother you.
Amen.
You know what David said? I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. God commands you to repent. Isaiah preached, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's repentance. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. That's repentance. Let him return unto the Lord. That's repentance. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God that he will abundantly pardon. In Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, first of all, there is a need of repentance, and then you're baptized because you are saved. Because the little word for there in the preposition of means, in the original Greek, means because of your repentance. You are baptized not in order to be saved and keep saved, but you're baptized because you are saved. Now I want you to know, if I thought baptism saved me, I'd be baptized every night.
Amen.
My salvation is not in baptism. It's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. What is faith? Faith is believing what God said and believing it because God said. I believe the greatest biblical definition is found in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? Faith is believing. What is repentance? Repentance, as I've said in repetition, may I say again. I believe men need to repent because the kingdom of God is. Beloved, I don't know what you think about it, but I believe the Lord's coming again.
Amen.
Amen.
And if I read my Bible correctly, I believe everything has been fulfilled in the Bible, and
Amen.
We're just now waiting for the great thing that is expected, and that is the coming of Christ. And I'd like to ask you, if the Lord were to come tonight, have you made preparation to meet him? If the Lord were to come before tomorrow, have you made preparation to meet him? If the Lord would come, one would be taken the other.
Two on the housetop.
One would be two in the field. One would be taken. Two in bed. One would be taken the other way. And as we look at the perilous times, even in this day, earthquakes in divers places, volcanoes, tornadoes, cyclones, storms, floods, it's a fulfillment. The Bible is fulfilled. And if it's not altogether fulfilled, it's being fulfilled. And if you'll read according to religious history, some great event has happened every 2,000 years. Beloved, we're looking for the coming of Jesus.
Amen.
And I don't know when he's coming, but I do believe that Jesus one day will come back again. You know, John the Baptist stood yonder and used the mountainside for his pulpit. Used the sky for his tabernacle. Used the multitude for his congregation. He cried out, repent for the kingdom of heaven. Believe the gospel and repent. Someone might say tonight, what will repentance do? In the first place, I believe repentance will bring joy to your own heart. I never shall forget the night that I trusted the Lord. It's my sad night, my burdens were laid, my sins were laid. The Lord did more for me in one moment than what everyone else could do in a lifetime. And I had joy. You can't rob that little person when they repent. And then there'll be joy among others when you repent. You say, Brother Bessel, I don't have any input. So yes, you do. Someone's watching your life. And if you do bad, somebody will criticize you. If you do good, they still may criticize you, but they're watching your life. And when you repent, and when you get right with God, not only will joy come to your heart, but joy will come to others. Now, I've seen it so many times. When the little boy in the home or the little girl in the home gets saved, they bring dad and mother. I've seen the dad get saved and bring the whole family to the Lord, haven't you? I've seen someone in that home get converted, and then all the household would get converted. Amen. The neighbors will see a change. When you repent, joy will come to your own heart, and joy will come to the hearts of them. And then the Bible said there'll be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner.
Amen.
That repent.
Amen.
And notice what it said, the angels, those in the presence of heaven. And the biblical story is given of 100 sheep, and one went astray. I can see the shepherd out of the kindness and the lovingness of his heart as he goes over the mountains, over the deep places, to the one who's gone astray. And there, out of the tenderness of his heart, he reaches down. He lifts that one up out of the miry clay. And he hovers that one close to his bosom. And there he travels through the briars and through the rocks and the mountains and back into the fold. He places the one that had gone astray back in the fold. And the Bible said there is more rejoicing over the one that had been brought back that had gone astray and put in the fold than all the ones who went. Why? Amazing grace. How sweet is that? Saved a wretch like me. Once I was lost, but now found, was blind, but now I see. And when we repent of our sin, we beat hell and we beat heaven, and then we can sing. When we have been there 10,000 years, bright, shiny as the sun, we are no less saved to sing God than when we are first
saved.
You feel the need of repentance tonight, I pray you'll come. You feel the need of coming forth and say, I want to confess Christ openly as my Savior. I want to receive Him as my Redeemer tonight. I want to repent of my sin right now. God bless you. I want us to stand, and I want us to bow our heads just for a moment.